from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, April 28th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with a Holocaust survivor. He'll speak about his memories in Europe and reflect on the importance of never forgetting the atrocities that led to World War II. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed a handful of measures that he say address the state's teacher shortage. One allows paraprofessionals to start working at age 18 instead of 19 in grades K through 8. Springfield High School junior Eleanor Stuckey knows she wants to be a teacher and says this will give her a jump start.
This legislation will allow me and others to begin working side by side with experienced teachers soon after high school. This will provide us with valuable skills like learning how to keep things interesting for young students and dealing with everyday distractions.
Another measure signed yesterday triples the time a temporary substitute can spend in the classroom. The reinstatement fee for lapsed educator licenses is cut from $500 to $50, and students enrolled in an accredited education program can become a substitute teacher once they reach 90 credit hours. The Farm Bill, which funds food and ag programs every 5 years, is set to expire next year. As Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports, some hope the next bill will bolster climate change mitigation programs.
The Farm Bill includes funding for things like nutrition assistance programs and crop insurance, but it also provides cost-share programs for farmers to adopt more climate-friendly practices on their farms. Some, including Pippa Elias, are hoping to boost funding for those programs next year. She's the deputy director of the Walton Family Foundation's environmental program and says those cost-share programs can be a model for organizations like hers to encourage climate action.
Whether that's, you know, different loan rates or, yeah, direct payments or, again, spurring different markets that can support that.
The Farm Bill is set to expire in September 2023. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
This week is International Dark Sky Week. Local organizers of the event say they're trying to raise awareness about light pollution, which the International Dark Sky Association reports is increasing faster than ever. Illinois Student Newsroom's Eva Bine has more.
The Champaign County Forest Preserve is offering an educational program, telescope viewing, and guided night walks this Friday at Illinois' only International Dark Sky Park. Jennifer Wick, a public program specialist at the preserve, says that light pollution is any artificial light that isn't necessary and has negative consequences. She says that light pollution affects everyone, from humans to birds and wildlife, especially during migration season.
As the population grows and as cities continue to develop, we understand that, you know, lighting is something that's really important and valuable, but it's also very important to consider how that light is being used and are you using it in the most eco-conscious way.
Wick says the event aims to give community members a new view and appreciation of the night sky. I'm Eva Bine, Illinois Student Newsroom.
The event takes place tomorrow evening from 7:30 to 10 at the Middle Fork River Forest Preserve northeast of Rantoul. For more information, including updates about any cancellations due to cloudy weather, visit the Homer Lake Interpretive Center's Facebook page. Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with a survivor of the Holocaust living in Illinois. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
I'm Emily Hayes, education reporter for Illinois Public Media. For 100 years, this community has depended on WILL to provide context and clarity on local schools, the University of Illinois, and other educational issues. As we celebrate a century of making waves in our community, you can help kickstart our next 100 years with a gift today in support of our spring fund drive at willgive.org. Thank you.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Eric Blaustein is a retired civil engineer who lives in the Chicago suburbs. He's also a Holocaust survivor. Blaustein visited Peoria on Monday to speak at the city's annual Holocaust Remembrance Day at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Before his speech, Blaustein sat down with Hannah Alani. In this interview, Blaustein describes his memories in Europe and reflects on the importance of never forgetting the atrocities that led to World War II.
I grew up in a well-to-do middle-class family. I was a very happy kid because I had everything I wanted. And we went on vacations, and I went to the zoo, I went to the museum. I had a father and a mother who were educated and told me all kinds of stories. I was a happy kid, and I did not know. I have to say I vaguely knew that I was Jewish. I didn't really know what that meant. I was a German kid.
Before the Holocaust, what was life like as a German Jew? Did you practice your holidays openly in your neighborhood with your family?
You could, but we did not. My father was a free thinker, and we had no holidays. As a matter of fact, dimly I remember we had a picture, my sister and me, under a Christmas tree, because that's what Germans celebrated. Well, all that stuff was thrown out in 1934 when my parents decided, they tell us we are Jews, darn it, we will be Jews.
I know you were arrested at one point after trying to hide.
I was hiding till age 15 and a half, 16. And I was caught only 5 months before the end of the war. They discovered me and I ended up in a concentration camp. September 44 till April 1945, I was liberated by American troops. I was caught, actually, not because I was Jewish. They thought I was a deserter from the German army. In order not to be hung that same evening, I had to tell them I'm Jewish. It sounds even funny, in a way. In order to save my life, I had to tell them I was Jewish.
What did you experience?
Personally, I was even lucky in the concentration camp. At that time, the prisoners had a little control about what's going on in a camp like Buchenwald. And they knew I would be killed the next morning just for sport. There were no Jews anymore in Buchenwald. And they told me, we kill you right now. What they meant is there was a young Italian partisan who had died. They took his number off and put it on my uniform, and my number was put on his uniform. The next morning at the barrel, they put my body out, I was dead. I made it through without being really discovered, with the help of some Italian prisoners, which claimed that the gibberish I talked was Italian.
What was your journey like from Europe to the United States?
I went to Israel. I was a lieutenant in the Israeli army. I stayed in Israel, got married there. But things in Israel were professionally not to my liking. I wanted to build big things. So I had a sister in the United States. I came to the United States in 1954. Eisenhower had started with the Interstate Highway Program. There was so much work for a civil engineer like me that I arrived here on Thursday. The next Monday, I went to work.
Why do you think it's important to remember the Holocaust, and how do you think it should be taught?
Well, there are two things. I don't want to be a Holocaust survivor by definition. I'm an American citizen, and I experienced something horrible, but otherwise I want to live like any other American. On the other hand, knowing about the Holocaust will show people what can happen if you play with anything like that. It doesn't have to be anti-Semitism. It can be anti-Yugoslavian or anti-Greek. We don't want to live in the past. We live in the future. I have three generations of Americans already coming after me. So I feel it's important that people know what happened. I think it will help them to make decisions not to be anti-Semitic.
That's Holocaust survivor Eric Blaustein speaking with Hannah Alani. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and a high of 62 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Dana Cronin, Eva Bine, and Hannah Alani. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.